Rainbows, unicorns, and pixie dust. Three things no one could be upset about. We're going to talk about censorship, rainbows, unicorns, and happy things in podcast 812, the Bob Davis Podcasts. So for me, unicorns, rainbows, and horses and pixie dust is coffee. I love coffee. But for a lot of people, coffee causes health problems. There is now a breakthrough coffee that tastes great and makes people feel fantastic. It's called Organo. I'm going to be telling some Organo stories in the near future here on the Bob Davis Podcast and in this podcast. So I just want to tell you, because I'm going to preface this this quick little vignette that some Organo lovers and I put together. Organo has a number of different products. They have coffee, they have tea, they have pills that are basically like vitamins that are all based on this root or this mushroom called Ganoderma. And you're going to hear about Ganoderma momentarily. But they make a great protein shake. And I'm going to tell you that I am definitely a convert to Organo. And if my friend Lois Kofi, who's going to come on at the end and tell you how to get Organo, if she's listening, she's probably cheering because before this, I was like, eh, I don't know. I like it. It's good. The coffee's good and so forth. But I didn't see anything great about it. I'm just going to very quickly say I got the shakes. They're awesome. And they have really made my workouts easier. They're building me up. And I can't believe how great they are and how that Ganoderma makes me feel. I know it sounds weird. I sound like I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I'm definitely drinking the Kool-Aid. Okay. So as I said, I got together recently with my friend Lois Coffee and some Organo lovers. Here is a story. And then afterwards, my friend Lois Coffee is going to come on and tell you how to get Organo.
My coffee that I was going to have until the day I died, they would have to pry my cup from my dead cold hands,
yes,
was actually starting to bother my stomach. My whole system was screwed up, and Organo slowly healed that.
What's in Organo that did that?
Organo has a superfood in it called Ganoderma. It's derived from the reishi mushroom. Much like coffee, it's grown in a certain altitude. Was used probably about 2,000 years ago, starting in China. What it actually does, have you heard of the acidic versus alkaline?
Yes.
And because of the stress and the sweets and the not food food that we eat and the pollution, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, our bodies have gone from that ideal healthy environment down to a more acidic, which opens the door for sickness, disease, all kinds of things that we experience heavily in this country. My name is Karen Lynn Amundsen. I haven't breathed like this in years. In the morning, I like to mix the king with the mocha. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in the afternoon, evening, it's either the red tea or the hot chocolate.
So if you want to experience the amazing health through your daily coffee habit, please contact me. I'll give you 25% off your first order. Give me a call at 612-708-5480 or go to my website landing page, www.globalcoffeeteam.com, and submit your contact information, and I'll follow up with you and provide you with some excellent service.
Organo also has great opportunities for you to change your life by helping to grow Organo, to try Organo, or help expand Organo's reach with new accounts. Contact Lois Kofi at globalcoffeeteam.com. Change your coffee, change your life. That number again is 612-708-5480, 612-708-5480, or click on that lush coffee banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com.
All right.
Okay, is the coast clear? Anybody looking? Should we let a few more seconds of content roll by before we dig down deep? Because we are not going to talk about unicorns, rainbows, and pixie dust in this podcast. We're going to talk about the increasing difficulty of doing podcasts about politics and society and posting and boosting or paying for ads for those podcasts on Facebook. Now, I'm going to start by saying I'm in the midst of this thing where every time I do a political podcast, And as you know, if you've been listening to the Bob Davis podcast, you know that I am not taking a side. And I'm decidedly not taking a side. I could take a side very easily. I could advocate. I could be very, very partisan if I chose to be. Anybody who knows me knows I can get real nasty and I can be very partisan if I want to be. And I don't do it because that is all there is in communications these days on talk radio, on television, and everywhere else. And you know this because I talk about it all the time if you listen to these podcasts. And I have decidedly chosen not to communicate that way for several reasons. One, I don't think it accomplishes anything. And the second thing is that we have to find new ways to communicate in this world because people are way too sensitive. It just triggers people and they get so upset and they aren't listening. And if you're on the conservative side, they are not listening to your rants and screaming and yelling and pounding the way that they did in 2000. And if you're on the left, they are not listening to your rants and your screaming and yelling about, you know, man's inhumanity to man and global warming. And we only have 12 years left. People are just tuning it out. And what is happening is, and it's really, I'm going to focus on Facebook because Facebook is what is driving me crazy right now. And it's pretty Orwellian. So if you post a podcast, as I just did recently, which was entitled Booming Economy, Reality Check, and this was a discussion, and if you want to download it, it's podcast 811 and listen to it. It is a, I would say, fairly objective analysis of the current GDP numbers versus the claims of the president. And the at issue in that podcast is whether or not we should be judging a performance or economic performance by any president, particularly this president, based on numbers that are cherry-picked. And I said, let's look at the GDP numbers and came to some conclusions about whether or not we have a booming economy. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know. This was a fairly innocent podcast, I would say, when it comes to, you know, content. But I think it advances a very important point, which is we have a standard for judging how our economy is working, and then we have a political standard. And in this particular administration, anything the president does is amazing and incredible, and the people who support him tend to follow him in a cultish way and agree with everything he says. They just repeat what he says. If they don't like him, then he's an idiot and so on. I don't need to go back all through that. So the point here is the content was not partisan. The content, in fact, was you know, balanced pretty effectively against the president, but certainly not in favor of people who would normally be associated with quote-unquote left-wing politics in this country. And as I have been doing with certain podcasts, I boosted it. So if you don't understand what I'm talking about on Facebook, there's an option. If you have a business website, you can boost a post. You click on it and you can spend $5, $10, $100, whatever you want to spend to get that post out into people's pages that you're normally not associated with. So if you're on Facebook for any length of time, and I'll tell you, the only reason I am on Facebook for any reason is simply to promote my business. I am not on Facebook to discuss anything with my family. I am not on Facebook to connect with friends in high school. I am not on Facebook for the excitement and fun of social media because it isn't. So the only reason, and I think many of us are this way, if you're an artist, if you're musician, you post stuff on Facebook because you want to remain relevant to people who might be out trying to figure out what they're going to go see this weekend when it comes to music. If you write books, if you do anything, you're trying to promote yourself on Facebook. It is – Facebook has become a ghetto. It has become a cesspool, not dissimilar to Twitter, except on Twitter it's just idiots promoting their left-wing or right-wing views, and it's just the absolute worst of humanity. It is nothing more than what we used to call a BBS or a bulletin board service where people just trolled each other all day long. That's what it is. That's what Twitter is. Facebook is not much better, except it's people promoting their crap. That's basically what it is to me. But I am promoting my crap, so let's go to town. So if I do a podcast about the sun or about something that is relatively prosaic, boost it, $5, $10, boom, off she goes, right? And if I do a podcast about society and politics, which is the category of my business and which is the category of my persona on Facebook, it's the category of my website on Google and everywhere else it's available. iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, what's the other one? Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio. It's all in the society and politics section because that is what I talk about most of the time. If I talk about something that's, travel, if I talk about yoga, those posts never have an issue. So now if you post something on Facebook that is in any way political, and there's a whole list of categories, which I've just spent an hour looking at. So everything from economy to not even the stuff that's crazy, like racism or the stuff that's, you know, Nazi party or anything like that, but simply these prosaic issues, equality, inequality, politics, Republican, Democrat, whatever. There's a whole list of these that if you are going to do a podcast about those things, if you're going to promote a post about those things, you have to follow a certain protocol. And that means you have to get identified. So I had to get my website guy, Mitch Rosso, to design a graphic, which was my driver's license, that's perfectly set up so they will accept it, so I could drag and drop it into their little thing. And then I had to provide my address and everything else, and I had to go through the AI process, where the AI process looked up every place I've ever been in the country in the last 20 years, streets I've lived on that I didn't even remember I lived on, and verify all those things. And then they send you a letter, and the letter is a 5-character code, which is letters that you are then supposed to go back and enter in the quote-unquote identification and verification process. And I forgot to do that. So when I posted the political podcast, this most recent thing about economics, again, fairly banal, okay? Not that big of a – not certainly something that's not going to – By the way, I have noticed that people are now starting to write about the somewhat lackluster fourth quarter GDP numbers and the projections for the first quarter. So I was ahead of the curve on that, and that's why I do these things. So my understanding is the way that this thing works is that once you've applied for this and they've verified your identity, so now I've entered the 5-character code, which I have, that's a temporary code, and then I would assume that they will approve me once they decide that I am who I am, and I will get a permanent identification code that I can use. But that's not the end of it. So instead of me just putting up podcasts and boosting the Facebook posts for the podcast, so I put up a link to my podcast on my Facebook pages. I have two. I have a personal page that's my family and friends, and then I have the BobDavisPodcast.com business page, which is to the audience. So if I post it and I reach 200 people or 300 people and I get, 10 link clicks, if I boost it, I'll reach 1,000 people and get 37 or 35 or 15 or 20 link clicks. Now, for my business, all I want is the click. They don't have to buy anything or anything else. I want people to come to the page, click on the podcast page, download the podcast, listen to the podcast. That's all I want. But now, once I go through this process, if I put a political podcast up, it then has to go through a review, an additional review, and then I might be asked to have a paid-for disclaimer. In other words, the implication is I'm putting up this political podcast, and you are going to have to there's going to be a little notice at the bottom that said paid for. Even though I'm essentially a commentator or journalist, it's going to require me to do a paid for, and then I'm going to say what? The BobDavisPodcast.com paid for it, because that's who paid for it. So, here's the problem. I understand why they're doing this, because of the Russian bots, which, the idea is that through somehow going through this identification process, we're going to be able to stop all the Russian and the Chinese and the Israeli and the British bots and the CIA bots that are proliferating, not to mention the fake bots and fake pages that Facebook uses to pad its numbers. Forget about that. We now have this new system that's gonna basically identify individuals before they and as they post and as they pay for ads to promote what they've posted. I get it. They want to make sure that you're a real person. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But here's the thing about Facebook that I think is very interesting. Actually, I'm going to talk about the thing about Facebook that's very interesting from an advertiser perspective. They won't listen to this podcast, so that's why I've entitled it what I've entitled it, so I can boost the hell out of it so that people can hear this and go, yeah, you know, maybe, because they won't look at pixie dust unicorns and sugary drinks or whatever I entitled the podcast with a picture of a horse or something. They won't, so there'll be a banal picture of a horse or sort of prosaic or whatever you want to call it, beautiful summer landscape or something, and then I'll boost it and everyone will see it, and then they'll listen to the podcast. They will get past that fabulous Organo ad at the beginning of the podcast, and then you hear what the podcast is actually about, because this is what we are put in a position of having to do now in order to get out content that somebody might be offended by. And this is becoming something that I am first of all, with all due respect, it amounts to censorship, and it is against our First Amendment rights according to the Constitution. And the only caveat that they have is, look, this is our platform. We own it. If you want to use it, then you have to follow our rules. Got that too. Understand that too. But this has a greater societal impact. And it may have a greater impact in terms of the value of Facebook going forward. We're going to talk about that in the second half of this podcast. Well, I'll tell you one company that works and works very well, and that is ReliaFund. They are a payment processor. I've been working with them for over a year now. If you're in business and you want to get paid, if you're developing back office stuff or e-commerce websites for your clients, listen up, because this message is for you. What is ReliaFund? ReliaFund is a payment processor that's been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. I have a ReliaFund button on my website that I use for clients to pay with a check, and it works flawlessly. They are on it. I had one client that paid a fair amount of money, and they wanted to make sure they had to verify it and everything else. And I got messages and they called me, and it was great. If you're developing an e-commerce website, if you're planning on doing anything online, if you are trying to update your back office stuff, if you call ReliaFund, you will deal with an actual human being, Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry. They have no long-term contracts. They're secure and technology focused, and they can integrate their systems into anything that you're building. 866-243-5040, 866-243-5040, or check them out online at ReliaFund.com, ReliaFund.com, or click on the ReliaFund banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So here's the deal. I'm going to do what I have to do to get the word out for my podcasts, whether it is going through the authentication process with the people at Facebook, whether it is putting out two podcasts, one with a fake title and one with a real title for everyone else, or whether it's entitling, political podcasts with obviously nonsensical titles like this one, or maybe I could entitle it, Lego and play dates with Michael Jackson. I don't know, something like that. But that's only one part of this, is the obvious effort to control speech, which means to keep the Russians out is affecting all of us. You know, there have been reports, and I have no doubt, because I know that Crowder went through this as well, where Facebook said, we're blocking your channel because, we don't like what you have to say. And so what this is doing is it's effectively making it very difficult for people who are doing political content to continue to do political content on this platform. So what you're left with in Facebook is really nothing. And I can't tell you, and Facebook should be aware of this. I suppose that they are. If they're listening, maybe they are. I can't tell you how many millennials have told me that they don't see any reason whatsoever to waste time on Facebook, that it is a complete waste of time, and they do other things. They have other venues, Now, I know Facebook owns Instagram, but they're in the process of ruining Instagram as well for many of the same reasons. So I'm going to throw this out because I've had some experience with Google. Google is certainly no paragon of virtue, but I'm going to tell you, I have a WordPress blog site that I load the podcast onto, and I do a blog with every podcast, plenty of outbound links and keywords and things of that nature, so that people who click on the podcast can read the blog and they can find information about what I'm talking about. And I have become quite passionate about doing the blogs in this way with each podcast, and I'm really proud of them. I'm not necessarily proud of the way I write, because I've had to learn to write for SEO, and you have to use transition words and things of that nature. So it's a whole different way of writing. I don't necessarily like writing that way, but okay. That's not a problem for me. But I will tell you this. So if you have something with Google, so I have AdSense on my website. They run ads, and of course, they send you money every now and then. And in order to get the money, you have to go through a number of hoops to put your bank accounts in and everything else that you want that money to be hooked up to. I will tell you this, my experience with Google, you know, whether it's analytics, whether it is a problem, whether it is, you know, something like AdWords, is it's seamless. You get if you have something in review, or if there's an issue, you will know immediately, and they will tell you exactly what you have to do, and they will follow you through the process to make sure that it works. It is a better engineered platform. Let's just put it that way. Facebook, it feels very much to me like Windows 95. It has a very clunky feel. You know, for example, windows don't open properly. You can't scroll down far enough. It's very hard to understand what they're trying to get me to do. They've got so many categories and so many rules and so many policies that even when you read them, you can't understand what they're trying to say or do. I don't know if they're trying to be this way and be Byzantine in this way, but for the most part, I see Facebook as really top heavy with all sorts of options and things that are blowing up on your screen constantly to ask you to put this in here or do that or do that or to click here or add this tab to your homepage or anything else, to the point where it's almost impossible to spend any time on Facebook. It's just aside from the fact that it's just it will drive you crazy. And I think there are people who are I'm convinced that there's a fair degree of mental health today that is negatively affected by it. I'm going to tell you what I would give you this metaphor for Facebook. Facebook is like driving in heavy city traffic that is moving but not quite fast enough, and everybody is trying to change lanes to jostle for position, and you can't tell what's ahead of you because there's a giant truck in front of you or there's construction or whatever it is, and you get so frustrated you almost have to get off, pull over, get a cup of coffee, and just say, I give up. I can't deal with this. You are so depressed by the time you get home that you just don't want to talk to anyone or do anything, because that's, you know, if you spend 45 minutes in that kind of traffic, it's really frustrating. That's what Facebook is like. Twitter, I wouldn't even waste my time getting off on that highway. I don't even bother with Twitter. I hate to engage on Twitter. I post my podcast on Twitter. If you make a comment, I don't really care. I hate Twitter. I hate the people on Twitter. I hate the attitude on Twitter. It's just the worst. It's like going to, you know, Chuck E. Cheese. It's just no adult would go there for any reason at any time, because it is the fourth level of hell, okay? That's what Facebook is like. It's a very negative experience, and it's an increasingly negative experience. And I am convinced that most of the people that are on Facebook are either people who just don't have anything else to do, or they are businesses trying to advertise. And it is so ridiculous to try to do anything on Facebook that is of any value that you just, you know, you reach the point where you're going to do what I'm doing, which is I'm going to falsely entitle a podcast with a dumb name that is completely inoffensive, so that I can bitch and moan about podcasting and promoting podcasting on Facebook. because there doesn't seem to be anything else. Or what's going to happen is people are going to start automatically editing themselves. And this is where we get into this larger question of whether or not these platforms are actually preventing people from having free speech, where they say, well, it's a privilege to be on Facebook, therefore you have to follow our rules. There has to be a better way. There has to be a better way to use the internet to promote what you're doing. There has to be a better way to get thoughts across. And there has to be a better way to keep people off of the platform who are genuinely abusive. You know, putting up a podcast about the economy is not abusive. And if that triggers you, then I feel sorry for you. You know, if you're triggered by any political opinion and you can't hit unfollow, then I feel sorry for you. If you're that dumb, I feel sorry for you. For me, it's becoming a problem. I know that they have blocked other people. They've certainly blocked Alex Jones, which I don't like Alex Jones, but did Alex Jones ever say or do anything that is that bad that he deserves to be blasted off a platform? And again, I've often talked about VPNs. I don't know if VPNs are really the way to do this, but there has to be a workaround so that we are able to access the internet at the level that a Facebook would allow us to access and not have to worry about this kind of censorship, because this is just – and this is a minor test. I mean, I feel sorry for somebody like Crowder that got kicked off and ended up settling out of court with Facebook because he's – in his view, I don't know what the basis of the case was. But I know that the basis of the case was that he was completely disenfranchised from his platform. And, I feel sorry for him and I feel sorry for others. And I think this is becoming a huge problem in our society, that we're so worried about the Russians that we're ruining ourselves. We're so concerned that the Russians are going to manipulate our political process that we're going to basically, gag ourselves because the Russians are out there. Let me just say a couple of words about that. And I've alluded to this in some podcasts that I did covering the last election, which was nonpartisan, by the way. I think some things need to be said about this, because I think people have gone way too far overboard with this idea that they have to protect the American citizen from seeing something that might be propaganda. None other than Noam Chomsky said recently, and Noam Chomsky is certainly no Reaganite, religious right conservative. Noam Chomsky is a gadfly and probably one of the people that right-wing people hate the most. But he said recently, and he is right, if you think that, tinkering with or intervening in the U.S. political process is anything new, then you have a lot to learn, because other foreign countries have been intervening and tinkering with the American political process probably since the day we started. And that the dark history of America from the 1790s to probably 1930 or 20 or 10, when we might have some records. You have no idea who spent money to intervene and how they spent money to intervene. I don't think money in politics is anything new, right? And we don't know which nations intervened. I'm sure if there's an academic listening who's a history person, U.S. history person, they'll be able to cite them chapter and verse. Democracies are vulnerable to efforts to manipulate the public and to manipulate public opinion. We know the North Vietnamese did it during the Vietnam War. We also did it in various communist countries in Eastern Europe. The Israelis have done it since the inception of Israel. They did it before Israel was even conceived of, in an effort to create the state of Israel and to get it accepted by the United Nations. The Japanese did it during the run-up to World War II. The Germans did it in the run-up to World War II. What do you think the Hindenburg was, other than a PR stunt by the Germans to make everyone think that they were okay? The British have been intervening in the United States political process for years, and we know the Israelis have been intervening in the American political process for years, and certainly the Soviet Union did before it became, what it used to be, which is Russia. So the Russians intervening and running a bunch of content on Facebook and Twitter and elsewhere that could potentially sway people away from Hillary Clinton. presents this false argument that the entire country was going to vote for Hillary Clinton, and if it hadn't been for the Russians, she'd be president today. Well, no one knows that. First of all, the entire country was not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. In fact, many Democrats were not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And as far as Donald Trump is concerned, again, I'm no Trump supporter, and you always have to put that disclaimer in if you say anything about Trump, because people might think that you're a Trump supporter, and then whatever you say, they disagree with. But this too shall pass. I mean, you know, Donald Trump will serve two terms if he's lucky. If not, he'll be out in, less than a year. Well, no, yeah, 2020. He'll be out very quickly if he doesn't win the next election. And then the Republicans kind of run around and talk about the Russians manipulating the American political process. If people do not have the ability to discern propaganda, if they don't have the ability to fact check on their own, if they don't read books, if they don't know how to find and vet sources of information, then it doesn't matter who runs what. It doesn't matter whether it's the CIA or the Russians or the British or the Israelis or whoever. You name a country. Uganda. You know? Zimbabwe. We are finished. We are washed up as a people and as a country if we are not going to be able to discern what objective, decent information is. And if these companies like Facebook that are running these social media platforms cannot discern a way or figure out a way to let people express their opinions and to open it up and police the truly abusive people or the people that are clearly, obviously bots, then, you know, why would you buy stock in Facebook? Because their time is going to be very limited in the future. So I predicted for a long time that, you know, when in the early 80s, when Apple was still making the Apple IIe and the IBM was the premier computer and MS-DOS-based computers were the leading computer and the operating system was MS-DOS, not Windows, but MS-DOS. And the Mac came out, the original Macs that were based on, I think, the Xerox system. The Xerox had a computer, which was the operating. It's basically Linux with this visuals that we have now come to associate with iOS. It was noticeably better. I can remember going to a convention, an electronics convention. And I went to the Apple booth and they had the new Macs and it was packed. I mean, everybody wanted to see the new Mac and see how it worked and they were oohing and aahing up the yin-yang. And so then we went over to I think it was the Microsoft booth and they were showing everyone the first Windows program. And I don't know what that was. It wasn't even as stable as Windows 95. It was their very first effort. This is how old I am. This is their very first effort at Windows. And we stood there and laughed at them. And they got really mad at us. and I said, you guys are propeller heads. Look at this. This is terrible. This is a terrible. And then as time went on, you know, I was in the Mac world, so I didn't really pay much attention to people who were detractors from Microsoft. But all the people who were developers said Microsoft is junk. You know, it's terrible. It's not open source. There are tons of backdoors. It doesn't work. It's clunky. It's, you know, badly, poorly coded. All my friends that were doing development stuff for, and at that time, websites for, Windows hated it. And the thing about Windows was, you couldn't figure out what you were trying to do. The tab would open up and you'd be like, what does this thing want me to do? Then you'd sit down in front of a Mac and you'd go, zoop, zoop. Oh, yeah. Okay. Bang. Oh, it means that's how you open stuff. Got it. You did it once and you knew it. And it was because somebody somewhere said, you know, let's not make this hard for people. Let's make this seamless so people can enjoy this thing and be productive. And of course, when I started with Macs, I was printing up research reports. And so for me to have a word processor that I could drop graphics into that I could make on the same computer, it revolutionized my life. It completely changed the way I did presentations. And this is before we even had PowerPoint or before we even – we had to do it on overheads. It completely changed the way that I did my job and made me way more productive. And I'll just tell you what I was doing. I had a huge phone bank and I would make thousands of calls a week and I would do surveys. And I would take the information from the surveys and I would collate the information and get the numbers and then I would write reports. And I worked for three or four TV stations and four or five radio stations. And so I was doing radio and television research. And when I first started, it would take me a week to write a report. Once I got the Mac and I got Excel and I got Word and everything else, it took me less than a day to write a report from the information. Oddly enough, we went from Apple IIe's to collate our data to IBM's because they were faster. So in terms of just computing raw data, the MS-DOS stuff was way more, and it was MS-DOS. It wasn't Windows. It was MS-DOS at the time. We had proprietary software written to generate random telephone numbers and then also to collate and to tabulate all the data. And so our key entry was faster and our printing report, as soon as the key entry was done, you could print a report. That saved us huge amounts of time. And I don't want to go on too long, but I think it's very interesting how at a certain point people perceived Microsoft as this monolithic thing and there was discussion about breaking them up and there were huge court fights about it, and that's where Facebook and to a lesser extent Google is right now. Google's thrilled that Facebook is getting hammered in the media but I think Facebook's in trouble. I think they are very confused about what kind of a company they are and what they're trying to do. And to be quite honest with you, the social media experience of which Facebook is at the center of is very bad. Conversely, LinkedIn, and I never could understand LinkedIn, but I'll just say this now. I find LinkedIn to be a much more enjoyable process, and there is a definite ecosystem in LinkedIn that seems to have a purpose, and it's way more positive. And I've never encountered that kind of a problem on LinkedIn, so maybe I'll start spending money on LinkedIn instead of spending it on Facebook because they're making one mistake after another. Now, I want to talk to pilots and people who love aircraft and people who love pilots because this is a very important message for you. So the EAA Air Show is coming up in Oshkosh this summer. And if you're planning on going, Alpha Systems, sponsor of the Bob Davis podcast, will be there. What is Alpha Systems? They make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. And the bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives because what it does is it's a heads-up display in your aircraft. So you're looking straight through the window and you're seeing this indicator that shows you how much lift your wing is producing. The number one cause of accidents in civil aviation is the problem with people making turns and maneuvering at low altitude, and they lose lift and they go into a spin and they're too low to do anything about it. So the angle of attack indicator solves that problem because you can see exactly how much lift your wing is producing and you fly safe. Click on the Alpha Systems banner for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, I hope you enjoyed Unicorns, Pixie Dust, and Rainbows. Bob Davis Podcast 812, available at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn, iTunes, as I mentioned, Stitcher.com, Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and more. Why? Because we are spread out over many, many different platforms in case anybody decides to get stinky and turn us off, or in case anyone decides that their website is, bulletproof and then it goes down. I appreciate your likes and especially your shares on Facebook and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else that you see the BobDavisPodcast.com. Also appreciate your donations for mobile podcast. Man, more about that in future podcasts. Thanks for listening to Podcast 812, the Bob Davis Podcasts.